You're listening to the Gergrade Daily Brief, number 228 for Friday, June the 14th, 2019. Yeah, buddy, we've made it another week, so you're going to have to hit it really hard today. This is Friday, and we're already the midpoint of June. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is growgreat.com. Let's solve the problem by stop making it worse. Listening matters. Now, it's comically true, and it's comically very effective. In fact, very much so. I 100% of the time will ask this question when people are faced with a problem. Is there anything that you've tried that has worked better than anything else that you have tried? And everybody will say, well, yeah, sure. To which I respond, well, then do more of that and stop doing all that other stuff that's not working. Don't do that anymore. And then I'll smile and I'll kind of wave like I'm waving goodbye and I'll say, good night, everybody. And if it goes well, and it always does, 100% of the time it goes well, then the people in the room, whether it's just me and one other person, or if there's a group, everybody smiles and a few chuckles. And when the room sobers back up, which just happens within mere seconds, everybody realizes the profound simplicity of it all and just how true it really is. The next conversation typically is going to focus on why and how we are making things worse, not better. And it really is the antithesis of the Hippocratic Oath, which basically says the physician must be able to tell the antecedents, know the present, and foretell the future, must mediate these things, and have two special objects in view with regard to disease, namely, to do good and to do no harm. Now, we have mostly heard it incorrectly stated, first, do no harm. But that prioritization really isn't accurate or present in the Hippocratic Oath. Rather, it's more clearly stated to do good and avoid doing any harm. Well, that's very binary. Needful in the practice of medicine, by the way. Also needful in the operation of your company. Do good, don't do harm. Well, it's empty advice at first blush, I suppose. Sort of like telling a poor person, get rich. Unintended consequences abound. Well-intended actions, they do too. No matter that these things may not always be congruent with our desired outcomes. Make sure the problem is really the problem. Part of the challenge is the accurate identification of the issue. Do we really know what the problem is? Can we make things worse because we're fixing the wrong thing? Well, yeah, of course we can. And often we do. This is where listening first kicks in. Don't assume that you already know the problem. Be deeply curious to find out. How? Well, by soliciting the perspective of others and by listening to them. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to convert to their point of view. I mean, that's the remarkable thing about listening that people seem to just be getting wrong. Sometimes I suspect people don't listen because, well, they don't want to change their viewpoint. They don't want to change their mind. Well, that's fine. Nobody says you've got to agree or be converted to the viewpoint of the people to whom you listen. That's up to you. I mean, get over it. Really? The fear of changing your mind is going to prevent you from listening? It does. Sounds ridiculous, but it's absolutely true. Just look at the political landscape or pick any cultural topic. Nastiness rules the day. Not listening. Makes me wonder what people are afraid of. All I can figure is the fear of being convinced to change their mind. Or maybe they're fearful that they'll learn something. Or, heaven forbid, they'll understand something. Listening matters. But only if understanding does too. And when you are trying to identify a problem accurately enough to solve it, then well, understanding really matters. Have you ever made a problem worse because it started with you saying something like, I know what we need to do? Yeah, of course it has. We've all done that. Jump to a conclusion, too often the wrong conclusion. It's easy. Jumping to conclusions is super easy. Filling in the gaps in our knowledge with assumptions, mostly false ones, that's super easy as well. Proactivity is ballyhooed. I think this is a big culprit here. We think that we need to jump on a problem straight away. And I'm a speed freak, but speed isn't always the best answer when it comes to identifying and solving a problem. Being thoughtful, being mindful, it's always appropriate. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our business. I have said this for decades, and the more I say it, the more I know it's true. I have, in my experience, it is just always true. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our business and the quality of our decisions, which includes the quality of our problem solving. Leaders, those who would be great and those who already are, display enough patience to learn more, to dig deeply enough to make sure the problem is properly identified and to fully understand, well, as much as time will allow. So here, let me give you a few suggestions. Let's end this week, and I want to give you a few really sink your teeth into suggestions that you may want to consider as you approach the problems facing your business. And they can also work toward helping you solve the problems of your life. Number one, assess the time frame that's available to you. Hint, there's almost always more time available than you think. Is there a stated deadline? Is that deadline non-negotiable? How urgent is it that a decision be made? What's the risk or the downside to waiting? What's the risk or the downside to not wait? Problems aren't all equal. Some are far more dangerous than others. Some are quite innocuous, while others are just screaming for attention. As the leader, you have to perform this very first stage of triage so that you can see if this situation is one that warrants urgency and how much urgency, but mainly so that you know what resources to marshal. Number two, figure out who can best help you figure out the real problem. Hint, it's safe to assume that you're not seeing it correctly. That is a far safer assumption than to assume that you are seeing this problem correctly. Not everybody's helpful. Great leaders deploy resources to increase value. And that's the entire purpose behind your business, to increase value. I know super smart people who are quite anxious under pressure. So if the problem has a restricted timeline, there may not be likely the best people to lean on. But if the problem allows time to ponder and consider, they may be great. You have to know your people well enough to know who you need to help this thing go round. What areas need to be represented in the room as you consider the problem? What areas don't seem to be needed? Be careful right here. I'm segueing into number three here, because this is where we frequently make problems worse. We exclude people thinking, well, they don't need to be involved. Number three, figure out who seems to be the least needed to help you figure out the real problem. Hint, put them in the room anyway. These are the exact people who can help you do good and no harm. Worst case scenario, they're going to wonder why you brought them in here and wasted their time. Well, that's your opportunity to evangelize the need to consider as many viewpoints as possible to prevent being blindsided by some unintended consequence because, well, you thought you were solving this original problem and it wouldn't have any impact on sales, but if sales aren't in the room, how do you know? Best case scenario, they will be major contributors providing you insights that, well, they would have been unknown had they not been in the room. Number four, ask good questions. Then ask great ones. Put perspectives, opinions, and thoughts on trial for their life, especially your own. Don't fall in love with your solution. Don't fall in love with anybody else's solution. Let the best solutions bubble to the top through rigorous questions. Hint, foster debate and lively dialogue. All you need to do is demand that everybody be respectful at all times. Number five, it's not a democracy. Find out what the room thinks should be done. Hint, this does not mean that you have to agree. This is information gathering so that you can make the best decision. Let these people do their job. Let them serve you. Go around the room and have people commit to some course of action. Getting people to go on the record in front of their peers and you, their boss, will be a powerful statement of what they believe. What decision would they commit to if they were making this decision? Do not share how you are leaning. Major, major hint. You will ruin the benefit if the group already knows what you're likely going to do. Keep that to yourself until the entire group has debated it and until they've all weighed in. Number six, decide. You're now armed with sufficient insight to make improved decisions. It's highly unlikely, although anything's possible, to make the problem worse if you go through this scenario. And at the least, you will have safeguarded the company from making matters worse. At best, you're armed to make a great decision that you alone would have likely never made. And there it is. Another week of episodes of the Grow Great Daily Brief. I hope you'll tell a friend. I hope you are a subscriber. What? Do that. Subscribe now. Go to the growgreat.com website. And all you got to do is click on that subscribe to podcast link and all kinds of ways to do it. It doesn't matter what device that you are on. I appreciate you listening. Be well, do good, grow great. Again, the website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Have a great Friday and have a super weekend. I'll see you next week.